بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما اصابكم من مصيبه فبما كسبت ايديكم ويعفو عن كثير وقال تعالى ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت ايدي الناس يذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we had briefly discussed a little booklet which Hazrat Mufti Abdul Rahim Lajpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, who was the Grand Mufti of India in his time, not long ago. He had passed away at the age of 101 years. In Ramadan, he had passed on. A very great, very pious Mufti. And he was asked a question regarding the distress and the suffering of the Muslim Ummah and why there were so many riots and massacres at many places in the world. And he gave an explanation and some reasons behind the plight of the Muslim Ummah. So we had just briefly begun that, and inshallah now we will continue, and we will just reiterate few of the important points that we may have discussed in answer to this very pertinent question which we find ourselves in this particular day and era today also. Throughout the globe, it is extremely sad when we hear of such catastrophes that the Muslim Ummah is suffering, the oppression, the zulam. Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali gave quite a few reasons and some explanations, some ahadith, two verses of the Quran which we recited now, generally sum up the main cause, the underlying cause of the Muslim Ummah suffering. And the first being, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Whatever misfortune befalls you, whatever musibat comes upon you, it is because of the things that your hands have earned. In other words, because of your own doings. وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants forgiveness. Allah forgives a lot. And the other verse, which we commonly hear in many talks, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. As we mentioned, there is so much of mischief, corruption, problems, persecution throughout the globe. Allah says, mischief has appeared fil barri wal bahr, in the land and in the sea. Bima kasabat aydin nas. It is because of what the hands of man have earned. Kasaba, they have earned. Liyudhiqahum ba'd alladhi ya'milu la'allahum yarji'un. That Allah may give them a taste of some of their deeds. And the whole purpose is, why is all this injury and persecution being inflicted? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah wants the Muslim Ummah to turn back to Him, to come make rujoo to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned the very first reason. He says, lack of true faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our iman has become very kamzor, very weak. The iman of Sahaba was a different level altogether. And they made an effort on the iman. Despite having such a strong iman, the iman was like mountains. Despite having strong iman, they would renew and refreshen the iman. Rasulullah mentioned, jaddidu imanakum bila ilaha illallah. Continuously recite, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Because when you are saying, la ilaha illallah, kalimatul tawheed, it is kalimatul taqwa, kalimatul ikhlas, it brings in your heart the greatness, the azmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, on a Thursday, when we have dhikr, we mention all these same things, so that the yaqeen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes into our heart. And when the yaqeen of Allah, the conviction of Allah, is weak in our heart, when our iman becomes weak, iman becomes kamzor, then we will find ourselves very easily slipping into evil and following nafs and shaitan. Then the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in front of us. Then the taqwa goes away. The fear, the khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes less in our hearts. And then we find ourselves doing all those things which will definitely earn Allah Ta'ala's displeasure, Allah Ta'ala's anger. And therefore we need to build our iman again. And do all those things that will strengthen our iman, strengthen our yaqeen. Now imagine the yaqeen that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, the thiqah, the reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when he was confronted by the enemy, when Rasulullah was resting and his sword was hung on the tree and the enemy grabbed hold of the sword, awoken Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he questioned him, mayyamna'uka minni, who's going to save you from me now? What was the reply? Look at the yaqeen, the iman of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allah. Immediately. So this is what we need to concentrate on and build our iman, build our iman, build our iman. La ilaha illallah. There is no deity worthy of being worshipped. There is no ma'bud beside Allah. There is no masjood who will prostrate before beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who is raziq. Our rozi comes only from him. Yes, we make the halal and proper efforts, but conviction is only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shifa is only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands. We take the medication, we do all those things, the asbab which is Allah ta'ala has given, permitted for us. But, musabbibul asbab, the creator of all these means, in whose hands is every single thing, and the control of every single atom and particle, and every human being, and every angel, and every creation of Allah. It is only in the hands of Allah. قُلْ مَنْ بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ يُجِيرُ وَلَا يُجَارُ عَلِيهِ. Quran is full of tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the azmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the kibriya of Allah, the grandeur. So when we read our salat also, we must feel the presence of Allah. أَنْ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. That feeling as though we are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or at least remember Allah is watching you, not only in our ibadah, not only in our salat, but in every single moment of our life. So when we're doing the deal and transaction with whoever, with the client, the customer, then too, muraqabah of Allah, my Allah is watching me, so I cannot cheat, I cannot deceive. When I'm at home, alone with the wife, or I'm in privacy, absolutely alone, nobody is there, alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Again, the consciousness that Allah is watching me. So we have to strengthen our iman, our yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentioned increased disobedience towards him. And this is one of the main reasons that there is so much of ma'asiyat and sin, disobedience. We openly violate the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he has mentioned that increasing timidity amongst us and the love of materialistic world, hubb al-dunya. And the hadith we had mentioned previously, very common, and it fits exactly in today's time as well. Where Rasulullah SAW mentioned, يُوشِكُ الْأُمَمُ أَن تَدَاعَ عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَا تَدَاعَ الْأَكَلَةُ إِلَىٰ قَصْعَتِهَا. Soon nations of the world, they will join forces, they will invite one another, and they will sit together. Like how people consume food, they sit around the table. They will have the conferences. And the whole mission and purpose will be to wipe out Islam, wipe out the Muslims, destroy the Muslims. Hadith of Rasulullah SAW. Sahaba asked, وَمِنْ قِلَّةٍ نَحْنُ يُومَئِذٍ. Would it be because we'll be few in number that they will just overpower us? Rasulullah said, لَا. قَالَ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ كَثِيرٌ. You'll be plenty in number. بَلْ أَنْتُمْ كَثِيرٌ. But your position, your worth, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءٌ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ. You'll be so low and insignificant, like the debris, the remains of flood, dirt, scum, filth, remains, absolutely no significance whatsoever. The awe that you once enjoyed, people heard the name of Umar, far away, the Persian king, and the Roman king is already trembling with fear. That all you will lose, Allah will take it out from the hearts of your enemies. وَلَيَنْزِعَنَّ اللَّهُ مِنْ صُدُورِ عَدُوِّكُمْ الْمَهَابَةَ مِنْكُمْ. Mahaba, the awe, the respect. And what will happen to you in your hearts? وَلَيَقْذِفَنَّ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ الْوَهْنِ. Allah Ta'ala will put wahan in your hearts. Sahaba asked, Mal wahnu ya Rasulullah? What is wahan? Nabi said, Hubbu dunya wa karahiyatul maut. Love for this world. Ardent love for this world. You become consumed with dunya, 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 dunya. Wa karahiyatul maut. You will detest death. You won't want to die. You won't talk about death. You won't remember death. You will just like death. And you will do all those things in this world as though, the meaning of this, is as though you are not going to leave this world. As though there is no death for you. So you amass wealth and you will have greed and you will continue in this way as though you are living forever and ever. And then he mentioned, amongst the various others, he mentioned open disobedience of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember, sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is zahiri sunnah and batini sunnah. Zahir, our beard, etc. External sunnah. Our libas, our clothing. Then there is an internal sunnah. Where Rasulullah mentioned to Anas radiallahu ta'ala, Ya bunayya in qadarta an tusbiha wa tumsiya wa laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahadin faf'al. Oh my dear son, Anas was the khadim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If it is possible for you to rise in the morning and in the evening to be in this condition that you have no ghish in your heart, no malice and hatred for any person, then do so because this is my sunnah. وَذَلِكَ مِن سُنَّتِ It is from my sunnah. أَنَسْ وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي Whoever loves my way of life, external, internal, wherever he is, abroad, local, whether he is flying, whether he is gone for a holiday, the sunnah of Rasulullah is not discarded. He does not bow down to the enemy and discard the sunnah because ma'adallah he is feeling shy to practice in the sunnah now. Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala is sitting on the Dasar Khan. Many other very noble and very high prominent people, other kings and other emperors and other high people in society were invited by some person. Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala's attendant, his khadim, is with him. And as the sahabi Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala is eating his food, one lukma, one morsel falls down. So he picks it up, he dusts it, and he puts it into his mouth. And all of them began to frown at him, looking at him with big eyes. What are you doing? So this khadim nudges him. Hazrat, they all are looking at you. So immediately he retorted, أَتْرُكُ سُنَّةَ حَبِيبِي لِهَاُولَىٰ الْحُمَقَىٰ Should I abandon the sunnah of my beloved Rasulullah for these fools? We in such a condition, because we have some non-Muslim partners or some business deals, so now suddenly it is time for eating and probably inshallah halal food. But then because they're eating with the fork and knife and the spoon, so now we also start eating like that. Sunnah is what we should bring into our life. This, there is noor in the sunnah, not in the other way of life. So we will feel shy and we will compromise on the sunnah and we will do what they are doing, thinking that we are pleasing them, whereas we have deprived them of haqq and truth. May Allah Ta'ala bring into our lives complete sunnah. We have to make an effort. Start from one sunnah. That's the easiest. Every day, try and build on that sunnah. Master it and then bring another sunnah into our lives. Kitabs upon kitabs on the sunnah of Rasulullah has been compiled. Plenty in English also. Right from the time we start the morning, the masnoon du'as we read when we awaken for tahajjud and before fajr and while going for fajr, leaving the home. The sunnah, salat, the turakat of sunnat of fajr, so important, so important, so important. That even if the horse's hooves are trampling you, then too you must still read the sunnah. Of course, it's detailed masail explanation. But we don't even bother. Ya tasbihat, masnoon tasbih after farz salat. 33 times subhanallah, 33 times alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. We have to bring it into our life. I mentioned to some friends the other day, we have to apply some pressure, some mujahada. You got to force yourself initially. It doesn't just come just like that. As today I was telling some of the students, the tawfiq of doing good deeds comes only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more Allah loves you, the more opportunities Allah will give you to make His ibadah. Listen very carefully. The more Allah loves you, the more chances and opportunities Allah will grant you to make His ibadah and become closer to Him. Because you are pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're doing what Allah wants. So Allah will give you more and more opportunities to gain more and more sawab. But if your life is full of ghaflat, negligence, you don't care about sunnah and all those things, so what's going to happen? You're moving away, becoming a ghafil person, so you're going to go away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you're not going to get those opportunities of tawfiq, of ta'at of Allah. One of the signs of sa'adat, happiness, success in this world and the hereafter, is when a person has taysiru ta'ah. When obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes easy to him. Obeying Allah becomes easy to him. You see, so many people, they're reading so much of azkar and tasbihat and tilawat, and you wonder, how are they doing it? And they're doing rigidly. How come they're doing so much? Because they have made up their mind and they're enjoying what they're doing. Allah gives them the sweetness of that ibadah. So when they're opening Quran, it's not a burden. They're enjoying it. Even if the person doesn't understand. But he's trying to read and he's enjoying. The tasbih he's making. The different mastoon duas, people have kitabs, they will read the whole kitab. Why? Because he's enjoying it. Allah gives him the opportunity. The rest of us, will come, go. We'll make some remarks and we go on. But we have been deprived of doing so much of ta'at. So sunnat must come into our lives. Imagine wearing a garment for that to this sunnat dua. Looking at the mirror, this is a sunnat dua. Entering the toilet, coming out of the toilet, before eating, during eating, after eating, when you go to sleep. There are so many must-known practices and duas to read when you go to sleep also. Sometimes while reading the dua, you fall off to sleep. What is the purpose of all this? The consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In all these duas, believe me, you are praising Allah. You are connecting yourself to Allah. You're reminding yourselves that Allah is our Khaliq. We are His makhluq. We're showing our abdiyat, our feebleness, our servitude to Allah. We are slaves. We are bondsmen, bondswomen. Allah is our master. Then following our own bid'ah practices and customs. There are so many things we have brought into deen. And ajeeb, so many du'as. People ask us, this dua, we don't find it in any authentic books of ahadith or anything. Maybe some person prescribed it and the words, okay, that's a different matter. But so many things we bring about in our life and we make it so compulsory, especially when a child is born, there are so many customary practices. There's no basis for it in our deen. So many types of ibadah we bring, which is though there's no basis for it. And therefore we should refrain from such things. Then, neglecting the rights of Allah, huququllah, like salat, zakat, hajj, etc. And the rights of makhluq, creation. And this is something which we find ourselves really failing miserably in when it comes to discharging the rights of a Muslim brother, Muslim sister. Huququl ibad. This is something extremely important. Sometimes in huququllah, we are scoring very good marks, mashallah. First up, reading our ibad, making our ibadah, everything. But when it comes to paying the person his due, paying the worker his salary, giving the person his share of the inheritance or her share of the inheritance, not causing taklif to any person, not making a noise or being an obstruction to any person. These things we don't bother. I quite often tell my friends and students that if we are late for salah for whatever reason, it doesn't mean the road belongs to us. Now we must drive so wildly and show our terrible character to the whole world and overtake all the other cars and hoot and show some anger. You are late, your fault. What does the other person, non-Muslim person, knows? You are rushing for salah. He's driving normally. Then you will actually go over the barrier line. You will shoot the robot. You will park wherever you want. You will run into the masjid with a thud. Disturb every person. All these things are taklif to people. Taklif to people. If we go into every single aspect of our life and we probe into these things, we will realize how much of taklif we give into the next person. When we're traveling also, we don't realize. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding and fulfill the huququl ibad also. If you owe any person any money, give him his due. Go to him, ask him for respite, ask him for forgiveness if he's prepared to forgive. If you've usurped somebody's property, go back, make amends now in this world before the day comes when there will be no dinar, no dirham. No currency to pay the person. The only way you'll be able to pay him is through your good deeds, your hard earnings, because of hasanat. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, manil muflis, who's a pauper? Who's a bankrupt person? Who's a poor person? Sahaba answered, and the answer is correct. Al muflisu, man la dirham lahu wala mata. Man has got no money, got not even a penny, he's got no possessions. He's a gharib person, he's a faqir, he's a muflis, he's got nothing. Rasul said, no, al-muflisu fina, actually in Sharia, who is a muflis? Man ya'ti bil-hasanat, a person who will come on the day of Qiyamah. Bi-kathirin min salatin wa zakatin wa hajjin. He'll come with a lot of good deeds, abundant rewards. So he made a lot of salat, hajj, zakat, sawm, fasting. But some person will come, وَيَأْتِي هَذَا. Whilst all is happening, somebody will come, وَقَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا. He had sworn that person in this world. He was abusive to him. وَقَذَفَ هَذَا. He slandered some person was innocent, and you accuse him of zina. You accuse him of doing something wrong, he was absolutely innocent. وَأَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا. You usurped somebody's property. You ate his food. You consumed his wealth. وَصَفَكَ دَمَ هَذَا. You unjustly killed some person. So people will then be given this man's hasanat. All his nekis are going away to them. Now all his good deeds is finished. Yet the queue is still long. More and more people come in and claim, Ya Allah, he did this to me. He did that to me. فَإِنْ فَنِيَتْ حَسَنَاتُهُ أُخِذَ مِنْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ. Those people's bad deeds now will be taken away from them. Their burden is made lighter. And now, فَطُرِحَتْ عَلَيْهِ. And now put over this person. What has he got? No more good deeds. He's only got bad deeds. ثُمَّ تُرِحَ فِي النَّارِ. Then he's thrown in headlong into Jahannam. May Allah save us. Therefore, Rasulullah says, in this dunya, make amends. You took a person's property. Even if it is a handspan of land, you were building your property, very common. The next door land was vacant. You change the landmark or you change your boundary line. Slightly, you just took without his permission. How often is the dispute? We don't care about the neighbor. We don't care about him. We will harm him. He's a Muslim person, so now you're taking advantage. Imagine non-Muslim neighbor. What type of Islam are you displaying? And then we complain. How come, you know, Islam is supposed to be the deen of haq? What's happening? We ourselves, if we are not behaving as true Muslims, I myself first, Allah forgive me, Allah cover our faults, Allah conceal our faults, Allah give us as true iman, make us true believers and true followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this is something which is happening. It's a reality. How many people complain? How many people? Is he a Muslim? This is what your religion teaches you. We should know mannerism, no etiquette, no mercy on the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Mufti Sahib says, our complete ingratitude towards the various blessings showered upon us by our benefactor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite us being totally unworthy of this blessing, we don't make shukr to Allah. Those days, our parents, grandparents, believe me, after eating, we hear all of them, we should also say, shukr alhamdulillah. There's no shukr today. We complain and complain and complain and complain. Ponder over the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person felt, you know, that I've got no shoes. But he goes out and he sees the man got no leg. He realizes, Allah has given me feet at least. The ability to go down in the sajda, we've got a head. What a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu. The ability to think. We're not insane. We're able to speak. We don't make shukr to Allah ta'ala for the thousands and thousands and thousands of bounties Allah has given us. In fact, Allah has mentioned in the Quran, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُود. The word kanood. Allah says, insan is most ungrateful to his Rabb. Hasan Basir Ahmadullah in tafsir of this verse, he said, man forgets the thousands of bounties Allah has given him. But he begins to count all the musibah that came to him. This happened to me, I lost that, that happened to me, that problem, everything is happening to me, so much. But have you ever pondered over the so many good things that are happening to you also? So may Allah Ta'ala make us true, we always say true, zakirin and shakirin, true shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then of course he mentioned disregard for the selfish advice given to us by our noble ulama in relation to our religion. Of course this is something very, very common today. There was one zamana, if the Imam Sahib, the Maulana said something, everybody listens. Of course, we're talking about genuine person. Hazrat Mufti Sahib is giving selfish advice. He's not charging you for the advice. He's not giving you advice for some ulterior motive. He's genuine, he's sincere. He wants to connect to Allah. He wants you to connect to Allah. He wants you to do the correct thing. So he will spend his time and he will educate you and he will give you ta'aleem. He will assist you in your problems and bring you to Sirat al-Mustaqim. But in this day and zamana, because there is an outburst of so many scholars and ulama, so then we'll pick and choose those things that we will feel nice and easy upon ourselves and will be conducive to our whims and fancies. And those things which do not appeal to us, don't appease us, then we will not bother, and then we will not listen to that person. End of the day, who is going to suffer? Nobody but ourselves. And therefore, sometimes the medication is bitter, definitely, but there is great remedy and cure for us in those things. And the moment we bring that into our lives for the sake of Allah, then Allah will give us enjoyment in our lives. As Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned a few things which really brings the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, unjust decision making and breaking of a pledge. When you break a promise, how many times we took qasam upon qasam. Really, you trusted the man, beard, kurta. You really thought this man is so nice, such a, but you can't believe he did it. He lied, he cheated, he broke the promise. Took the money, good faith, he disappears, he's gone. Then, when we do not measure correctly, we do not weigh correctly, short way measuring by traders, what's going to happen? Then the result will be there will be famine, there will be oppression, and when we break promises and pledges, then there will be tyrants that will rule over us. And also if this betrayal of trust and amanat, and I give a whole bayan on amanat, that the hadith of Rasul says, before Qiyamah, you will hardly find an amanat dar person. You won't find a person who you can trust. When all these things will happen and dunya comes into our heart, Mufti Sahib says, the kuffar forces will gain strength against us. They'll gain strength against us. There's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whosoever emulates my way of life and adheres to my sunnah. Whoever emulates my way of life and adheres to my sunnah, Allah Ta'ala will bless him with four favors. Mufti Lajpuri Rahmatullah has mentioned this. Number one, the love of such a person will be instilled into the hearts of the pious people. If you follow the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala will put your muhabbat in the hearts of his pious bandas. And they will actually remember you in their duas. Imagine to be known or close to the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, sinners and disbelievers will fear such a person in their hearts. So you'll enjoy that awe and respect, and they will, sinners and disbelievers will fear such a person. Number three, his livelihood, his rosy will be increased for him. You get barakah in your rosy. Number four, Allah Ta'ala will strengthen him in his deen. Allah Ta'ala will make his deen solid. So by following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what we would enjoy. Another hadith, in expression of a verse, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and fear oppression which cannot fall exclusively on those of you who do wrong. In other words, when you're committing zulam, and people are not stopping the oppressor from the zulam, then Allah's azab will come on every person. It'll be a widespread azab. And the explanation to this in Ma'arif al-Quran, as Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu said, Allah Ta'ala has ordered Muslims to prevent immorality. Fahash. Obscenity, lewdness, and disobedience in their towns and villages. Furthermore, not preventing such actions, despite having all the power to do so, will definitely result in severe punishment on all, irrespective of whether they may be pious or impious. And we see immodesty, immorality becoming armed, and we have the ability, the authority to stop, to educate, to advise, or to stop the person in our family, and we don't do so, then Allah's wrath comes on every single person. As Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala once said, or he said that the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he quoted, he said, I swear by Allah, the one in whose hands my life is, continue to order and guide people towards good deeds and prevent them from immoral acts. Otherwise, Allah ta'ala will surely send his severe punishment upon you. Then if you turn to Allah and you make dua to Allah, your du'as will not be accepted. Your du'as will not be accepted. When we stop amar bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. When we stop commanding people towards good, kindly, nicely, with diplomacy, and we do not stop them from evil with diplomacy, with hikmat, in a kind way. We don't make nahi anil munkar. We allow that munkar, the immorality and the haram things to continue and continue. So what's going to happen? Then we'll make dua. When Allah's azab will come, we'll make dua, but our duas will not be accepted. May Allah protect us. When adultery, drinking wine, singing, dancing, the use of various types of musical instruments become common and fashionable among the people, then the self-respect of Allah also comes into effect. Allah's self-respect comes into effect. If the people immediately rectify their mistakes, Allah's azab will stop. Otherwise, a vast area of people and huge buildings are raised to the ground and turned into heaps of mud. Adultery is common today. Allah protect us. Drinking wine, absolutely common. Singing, dancing, Allah forgive us. Musical instruments, it is become so arm. And initiated by Muslims also, we see concerts upon concerts upon concerts everywhere. And the whole world be invited. We have no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No care about the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah forgive us if we have brought those musical instruments into the masjid. Almost every second day whilst in salat, we find somebody's cell phone is ringing. And what is it? A musical tone, some song. The person has no shame. It's possible some mistake happened. Somebody fidgeted with your phone and changed some ring tone, whatever it is, or your new phone, and you didn't know. It's possible some mistake, but here it is happening so common, not one, becoming armed. It's difficult now to even correct the person because the person becomes very upset. That's the truth. Few people will respect the imam, respect the alim. The rest know he's coming for his salat, you can't tell him anything. Be up in arms, become angry, swear. This is common logic. Azmat of Allah. وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. That person who honors the sha'air of Allah, the symbols of Allah, the rites of Allah, R-I-T-E-S. Then this is from the taqwa of the heart. Wherever we go, Haramin Sharifin, Ya Allah. It's gone so bad. Standing before Rasulullah, it's become so difficult. The people have gone with their cell phone and the musical tones and the videos, and they just want to video in front of the Kaaba. Tawaf. It's so difficult. You feel like sometimes telling the person, "Hey, what is wrong with you? don't care anymore. Everybody is using the Kaaba, the Kaaba. Just to pose and an image behind him. And believe me, wallahi, I've seen so many times, the person is now pretending as though he's crying and making dua. And the picture, the image didn't come out right, so he tries again, and his friend is taking the picture. Oh, what is all this? But let us think, if Rasulullah was present there, would he have accepted these type of things? It is so difficult now to even read your salat in the night alone, peacefully, because next to you there's a woman, in front of you there's a woman, behind you there's a woman. Where can you go and hide now to read your two rakat namaz even properly? You don't have to be told these things. You don't need authority to push you back and go sit somewhere separately. May Allah forgive me, may Allah forgive us. We are seeing all these things creeping more and more, even in our own places, in our workplaces. You've got a telephone, so you must make sure if there's any call and you have a message that's being relayed, whatever it is, there must not be any music in it. Al-ghina'u yumbitu al-nifaqa fil-qalb kama yumbitu al-ma'u al-zar'a. Music increases hypocrisy, it grows hypocrisy in the heart. Imagine you actually want to become a munafiq. You want to become a hypocrite. You won't enjoy your salah. You'll perform salah. Munafiqin also perform salah. They also perform salah. But lazily. No feeling in the heart. You're not going to enjoy the sajda. When you're going to say Subhana Rabbil A'la, you're not going to get any enjoyment. It'll be taken away from you. Rasulullah has mentioned also, my followers will also face incidents of sinking in the ground. Disfigurement. Imagine your face becoming the face of an ape, of swine. Allah protect us. There will be raining of heavy stones from the heavens. One of the Sahaba asked, when would these incidents manifest? When will this come? Rasulullah replied, when the evils of singing, dancing, music, and drinking liquor will become common. Tirmidhi. When the evils of singing, dancing, music, and drinking liquor will be common. A person mentioned a very long poem in Urdu, in which he mentions a few things, and the khulasa, the gist of it, because the time is already up, he mentions that from say various ahadith of Rasulullah, and we just, you know, summarize these ahadith, he says that when people will not hesitate to usurp properties belonging to others, they will indulge in immoral acts, they will feel no remorse, no regret, there will be quarrels and enmity will become common, close relatives like brothers, sisters, parents, all fighting, enmity. Daughters will be born to mothers as their enemies and mistresses. In other words, they will not obey their mothers. And the feeling and fear of the presence of Allah will become rare amongst the believers. People in salah will forget what they're doing. They'll have no feeling, no khushu, no khudu. He mentioned that guna kare aur kamal samjhe. The man is committing sin, but his thing is doing very well. Batao, dunya mein kya raha hai? Bhai ka bhai begar hai zan. Haqiqi beti hai, maa ki dushman. Haat baan khare hai saf mein. Sab apne apne khiyal mein hai. No khushu, no khudu. What type of salat is it? May Allah ta'ala forgive us. You mentioned the verse of the Quran where people disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nations of the past. فَكُلًّا أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِ اللَّهِ تَرَسِلْ. Each one of them, we seized them for their crime. Among some, against some of them, we sent a violent hurricane, a tornado. Have we not heard of tornadoes now, recently, in our own country? Some were caught in a deafening blast. Some we caused the earth to swallow up. Some we drowned. So Allah Ta'ala punished those nations of the past. This is an ibrat for this ummah. They do not follow the same way of life. In the end, Hazrat Mufti Sahib writes, what should Muslim do in such a situation? First of all, do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. Believe me, Shaitan puts into the minds of the disbeliever and the enemies of the Muslims such plans and such tricks. Shaitan actually comes and he teaches them, do this, do that, do that. That is why we see sometimes, how come that person, how come they did this and how come they harmed so many innocent people? Shaitan teaches them. Shaitan becomes the ustad of those people. Because they're living a life of filth. A very morbid, filthy life. Shaitan becomes the ustad. So, many times things will become viral and make the Muslims lose all their courage and himmat. You see such persecution taking place in the world and you read such articles and it will make you feel so weak and miserable, you'll feel if we can't do anything. This also is the chalaki that they use, propaganda, to gain victory against you. You see, all what has happened, everything. So nobody has the courage then to stand up for haqq. And you feel everybody is the same now because we lost all our strength and our ruh. Our qalb, our iman is weak and we are weak and we can't do anything. لا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رُوحِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَهِنُوا Quran says, do not lose heart. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا Do not fall into despair. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ And you will gain mastery if you are in, have iman. As Mufti Sahib mentioned a few things, I'll just mention those few things, inshallah, if we do it. Number one, sincere tawbah. Turn to Allah, turn to Allah, turn to Allah. Rujoo ila Allah. And we have discussed this so many times. Number two, salat. Establish salat in our lives, our fard, our faraid at least. If you've got baligh, sons at home, bring them to the masjid. Why can't we bring our baligh sons to the masjid? I can't understand. Explain to them the ahmiyat of salah. We've got baligh daughters. And it is time for them to read the salah. They're in a pure condition, still fast asleep. How many, a mother wakes up, but the husband is, and the wife wakes up, and the husband is fast asleep. He doesn't come to the masjid. There's no salah. 2% of the ummah is reading salah. 98% ghafil of a fundamental of Islam. Proudly we'll read the hadith, Buniyal Islamu ala khamsin. And we see, wa iqami salah, establish salah. Salah is like the head of the body, no head, there's no body. Establish salah and improve in our salah. For us, inshallah, Allah give us tawfiq. Allah must bring, give us khushu, make tahseen of our salah, purify our salah. Inshallah, we'll discuss that. But first thing, tawbah, second thing, salah. Number three, give a lot of sadaqah. As-sadaqatu tutfi'u ghadab al-rabbi. I gave a hood bayan not long ago on just virtues and importance of sadaqah in one Jummah bayan, a few months back. If we can, listen to that bayan again, inshallah. So when we give sadaqah, Allah's anger cools down. Allah wards off evil. The evil will not come upon us. Number three, do not waste. Ya Allah. Innal mubadhirina kanu ikhwana shayateen. Those who are extravagant, they waste. And we see this so common, maybe not so much us, but in other parts of the world, I've seen it, heart pains. A person dishes out on his plate so much of food, and he just eats a little, and he leaves that whole plate and tray of food. Wallahi, that food is then thrown in the dustbin. When so many billions of masoom children, there's famine going to the African countries. They've got only a skeleton. They've got nothing. Our weddings. When are we going to change? Who are we trying to impress? We are spending such amounts of money just to drape walls, decor, flowers on the table, artificial flowers. Have we lost our sanity? Aren't we fearing that we're going to, what face we are going to face for Rasulullah on the day of Qiyamah? Whenever I stand before Rosa Mubarak before that, I say, Allah, how am I going to face my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? How are we going to face him? We're expecting, we're just going to go hold the course. Inshallah, grant it to us. May Allah forgive us. Do not lose hope. I'm not meaning to make us lose hope. This kitab is so absolutely, it's applicable to us today. Whatever Hazrat Mufti Sahib has mentioned. We have family members. Become a model example. Allah has given you wealth. MashaAllah. Now you show the rest of your family. That this is the way we are going to do this nikah of my daughter or my granddaughter, according to sunnah way of life, absolutely simple. Yes, I will give them that money that I would have spent for their house, furniture, whatever it is, keep them happy. Simple. But I don't have to invite the whole town and print so many cards, and there's so much of elaborate preparations in the whole week, and 2-3 weeks, and months go on, and Allah forbid, and the nikah doesn't last long, then what happens? Where are we going to hide our head then? So this is something, inshallah, make a niyat, respected brothers, and I know mothers listening at home. Be firm on this, that now nikahs, we are going to make it simple as possible, simple as possible. Oh, Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullah, every nikah bayan, he would stress and stress and stress and stress. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Then he says, tilawat of Quran. Increase our tilawat of the Quran. And tasbihat dhikrullah. Alhamdulillah, we try to make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn how to make dhikr, but it must become part and parcel of our life. Make a lot of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and durood upon Nabi Kareem. Believe me, durood sharif is another very powerful medication we have, and something that we have with us, and it will bring about such benefit and rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read in kasrat durood sharif. Again, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi, this 40 durood that we read, and Hazrat Mawlana in this masjid, Allah give us tawfiq to continue this. That this durood sharif made it so easy. Recite durood sharif upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then teaching our children proper Islamic education, makatib system, the maktab, afternoon madrasa, which all of us went to. All of us went to. Somehow it's not found so much as previously. MashaAllah, there is great effort being made, but this is the backbone for the ta'aleem of our children. The amount that 1 hour or 1.5 hour, the amount that they do there is unbelievable. You and I cannot go now teach our children in the evening much, and we tired and we gone for holiday and this and we business. So what's happened? At least they're going in that apa, she's trying her level best, that ustad is trying. Do not deprive our children. It's so common that the child finishes primary, high school, nobody wants to go to the maktab. There are courses offered, but again, we've got this curricular, extracurricular activity and this tuition and that tuition. Alhamdulillah, you know, madrasa we have on a Saturday, for the varsity students. 2 hours, and mashallah, they come with such thirst, and they are punctual. Alhamdulillah, some benefit they will get, inshallah. So the maktab system. Then, unity, brotherhood. Again, we can go into another whole bayan. There's disunity in our families. Brothers not talking to brothers, sisters, parents, children. This is fighting and fighting. Go to the court, court cases. Allah protect us. Allah bring unity. And then, of course, respecting and listening to our ulama. Following the teachings. Inshallah, we will see khair in this. And then make the people aware of Islam, true Islam. We're not giving dawah to the non-Muslims. By means of our akhlaq, our dealings, muamalat, muasharat, and dawah. Inviting them towards the truth of Islam. You know, when we are traveling, and next to you, if a non-Muslim is sitting, what happens? Either you're not talking to him at all, or either you're only talking about the world. What a golden opportunity to, with hikmat, with kindness, in a nice way, you ask him how he's feeling this, that, and slowly, slowly, you bring him towards talking to him about the oneness of Allah, the love of Allah. There was one person sitting next to me some years back to the local flight. And then he was involved in the, very big in the steel industry. Iron and steel. I told him, explained to him, I said, you know, in our Quran, we've got a whole chapter on iron and steel. Even we do not know. Surah Hadid in 27 para. Allah talks about Hadid. He was amazed. I said, what's your religion? He said, Christianity. I said, do you know, Islam, we believe in Maryam, Mary. We've got a whole chapter named Surah Maryam. Your Bible doesn't even have that. He was amazed. Then we explained to him that terrorism is not part of our deen. We don't just go behead people and kill people, no. He said, yes, no, I know, I've got Muslim friends and, you know, good people. And then he said, but then, you know, one Muslim friend of mine did me down, man. See? So we are becoming such that we are blocking others and stopping others from embracing Islam. So give them dawah by means of our akhlaq. Akhlaq. You are working in a company, show them good manners and akhlaq, etiquette, they will respect you. But if you are going to talk in a lewd manner and an immoral manner with those females there, they will have no respect for you. But if you show modesty and haya, wallahi, they will feel safe in the presence of this man. that he's not going to interfere with me. He doesn't even look at me. He doesn't even set his glance upon me. I feel secure in his company. May Allah give me tawfiq, give all of us tawfiq. This is just a summary of what Mufti Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned. May Allah give him jazai khair, make his qabr full of noor. May Allah ta'ala protect the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Believe me, there is so much of persecution throughout the globe. We have to make a lot of dua in the darkness of the night. You know, and nobody is watching you at home. Allah give us tawfiq, two rakats, tahajjud. Raise your hands and silently, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Protect the ummah of Nabiya Kareem. Help the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your little dua is very significant for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah appreciates it. Inshallah. Allah Ta'ala will remove the difficulties of the ummah. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Subhanallah bihamdi subhanakallahumma bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.